This is Maggie Jones in Natural Wonders. I'll be reading today two different columns by Patrick Durkin. He's an outdoor writer, and quite a few newspapers pick up his weekly column. His website, patrickdurkinoutdoors.com. He's not afraid to tackle any issues involving hunting, fishing, environmental issues. Always fascinating to read his opinions. And he's written about the Conservation Congress hearings, which for attending in person was yesterday, but you still have more than 24 hours to comment online about the different issues that are brought up this year, including the very important topic of funding our natural resources conservation, our agency. And then the other topic that Durkin has written about and which concerns many of us deeply is the future of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area, with nearby mining being proposed and protections for that area being diminished significantly. So first I'll tell you a little about Durkin and then a little bit about Conservation Congress hearings and how important they are for all of us to chime in. Aldo Leopold had the original idea for a citizen-based delegation, which became our Conservation Congress today. You can find information about them on the Department of Natural Resources website. Pat Durkin of Eau Claire is an award-winning outdoor writer, newspaper columnist, and general outdoors reporter. He has been Meat Eaters Wildlife Research Contributor since June of 2018 and writes frequently for national archery and hunting magazines. He also provides editing services for books and magazines and serves as contributing editor-writer for the Archery Trade Association from September of 2001 to January of 2021. His website is compelling. He has his weekly columns published, as well as many other things, patrickdurkinoutdoors.com. And I will read you his column about the Conservation Congress hearings. This was published March 14th. Wisconsin's hunters, anglers, and trappers will be asked 13 ways whether they support higher license fees, sales taxes, or other revenue-generating alternatives April 13 through 15, when they vote on the annual statewide spring hearings. The hearings are held by the Department of Natural Resources and Wisconsin Conservation Congress. The WCC is a 360-person citizens group that's legislatively sanctioned to advise Wisconsin's 7 Citizen Natural Resources Board, which sets DNR policy. This year marks the WCC's 92nd anniversary. The conservation hearings began in the 1930s when UW-Madison wildlife professor Aldo Leopold and his contemporaries sought to engage the public in conservation decision-making. Each year since, citizens have crafted and voted on proposals that can become rules or laws regulating Wisconsin's hunting, fishing, trapping, and environment. This year's 44 proposals from the DNR, Natural Resources Board, and the Conservation Congress are for advice only. None are binding and none can take effect this year. Questions winning approval could advance to the 2027 spring hearings as official rule proposals for NRB action. The full questionnaire can be found online. Wisconsin DNR spring hearing questionnaire would be your search words. Funding for state hunting, fishing, trapping, and other conservation programs has plunged in recent years, largely because the legislature hasn't increased license fees since 2025. In addition, hunting and fishing participation has declined, which reduced license sales. Sales of firearms deer licenses, for example, fell to 550,611 in 2025, a decline of nearly 145,000 in the past 25 years. Without more revenues for DNR work, the Natural Resources Board predicts cutbacks and lost services such as stocking of fish and pheasants, habitat management on public lands, and law enforcement to protect fish, game, and fur bearers. Given those possible cutbacks, another Natural Resources Board question asks voters if the reductions would make them quit participating in outdoor recreation. To address the lost funding and cutbacks worsened by a 66% inflation rate the past 22 years, the NRB asks voters to consider seven questions. Should fee increases cover the full 66% of lost value? Or would voters prefer 25%, 50%, or 75% fee increases? Other options would be a one-time fee to cover the current shortfall, which isn't specified, or possibly a $6 hike to the current $10 inland trout stamp, which hasn't increased since 2006. The NRB also asks four questions about alternative funding, such as adding 1/8-cent state sales tax that could be used for all conservation programs. Or would voters support a general tax to replace the $20 million lost each year because of existing free or discounted licenses, such as for senior citizens and first-time hunters? Other options are access fees to use all public lands, such as natural areas and fish and wildlife management areas, or how about registration fees for canoes, kayaks, rowboats, and stand-up paddle boards? The Conservation Congress also asks, who would support the 1/8-cent state sales tax for conservation, noting the DNR's budget for fish, wildlife, and conservation was $120 million in 2004, but only $75 million in 2024, or 37.5% less. Even as inflation rose and license revenues fell the past two decades. Further, the WCC asks if hunters would support raising the price of the turkey stamp from $5.25 to $10 to raise nearly $463,000 for research and habitat projects. The stamp's price hasn't increased since 2005. But this year's questionnaire wasn't all about how to fix fish and wildlife programs that lawmakers crippled financially in the past two decades. Other questions ask if Wisconsin should open its cottontail rabbit season statewide September 15. Since 1949, hunters in southern Wisconsin have waited until October 15 to hunt rabbits, even though there's no biological reason for the delay. They're asking if Wisconsin should extend the archery and crossbow seasons to January 31 in all farmland deer management units. They're asking about allowing bobcat hunting at night, but only by calling, no hounds. They're asking about allowing anglers on Lakes Michigan and Superior to clean salmon and trout on their boats and drop the fish waste overboard as long as they're at least a half a mile from shore. Allow underwater spearfishing for catfish. Work with state and federal agencies to darken at least one blade on wind turbines to reduce bird strike fatalities. Support legislation to reauthorize the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program for at least 10 years with up to $1 billion in funding to allow houndsmen to work with livestock owners and pet owners to use trailing hounds to harass wolves that kill or wound pets, cattle, horses, or other animals. They're asking about allowing hunters to leave stands or ground blinds overnight on all state-owned land, not just north of Highway 64. The hearings for in-person voting will be 6 to 9 p.m. Monday, April 13th, but online voting will be April 13 through 15, which means you can still vote online. Until expanding the public hearings to offer online voting in 2019, the DNR and WCC required in-person attendance to vote. COVID-19 canceled all in-person voting in April 2020, forcing the DNR to offer only online voting from 2020 through 2023. Online voting surged to a record 64,943 participants in 2020, driven largely by hunters who opposed several proposed changes from the board to Wisconsin's deer season format. Participation declined in 2021 and has averaged 16,090 the past 5 years, most of it through online voting. After in-person voting returned in 2024, it attracted only 1,001 people. A year ago in 2025, in-person attendance nearly doubled to 1,802. Even so, in-person voting accounted for only 11% of participants the last 2 years. Before COVID-19 and online voting, in-person voting exceeded 10,000 only 4 times from 1970 through 2018, with a high of 30,685 in 2000 when the DNR pushed to open the state's hunting season on mourning doves. Unlike at recent spring hearings, those attending and voting in person in April will be able to vote on resolutions submitted during the meeting. As usual, the hearings don't include questions and discussions about antlerless quotas and deer management objectives for this fall's hunting seasons. Those issues will be addressed by county deer advisory committees starting in late April, and there's a link to the county deer advisory committees. For the date and time and location of your county's deer advisory committee meeting, you can go to the DNR website. And that's Pat Durkin's article about the spring hearings this year. I think it's extremely important for us to go online and state our answers to these questions. All of us paying a fraction of a penny in a sales tax puts the burden squarely on everybody, not putting the entire burden on declining numbers of hunters, trappers, and fishers solely. We all benefit from excellent wildlife management, excellent natural resources agency funding. These sales taxes that everybody pays, 1/8 of a cent, for instance, means that everybody is involved in promoting our agency's wildlife efforts, and everybody has a stake. So that's what I'm going to vote for. Here is Durkin's article published March 7th. Titled River in Ireland Cautions Us to Protect Minnesota's Boundary Waters. Whenever politicians try to roll back rules on sulfide mining for metals like gold, nickel, or copper, I flash back to June 2005 when my wife and I toured Ireland with my parents. About 40 miles south of Dublin, we pulled into Avoca, a small town in County Wicklow, to visit Fitzgerald's Pub. Mom and Dad wanted to see the pub because it was featured in the 1990s BBC TV show called Ballykissangel, the show's fictional name for Avoca. If you ever watched Ballykissangel, maybe you saw a sign outside the fictional town's post office that used original Irish to spell that name, Ballykissangel. It means the town of the fallen angel, and forgive me for that terrible pronunciation. My parents headed inside Fitzgerald's Pub while I parked our car. Before joining them in the pub, Penny and I walked along the nearby Avoca River, which flows southeasterly into town from the Wicklow Mountains. After leaving town, the Avoca tumbles along to an estuary of the Irish Sea at Arklow. This pretty rock-strewn river looked like many other trout and salmon rivers we passed during our 2-week drive around Ireland, and so I hoped to find fishermen to chat up. When we saw no one fishing, we headed for Fitzgerald's. After our server took our order, I asked about fishing the Avoca. She looked hurt, maybe even annoyed, as if surprised someone would ask something so clueless. "There's no fishing here," she said. "Mining killed our fish years ago. all of them. Hmm, got it. The town of that fallen angel. Maybe folks like Congressman Pete Stauber, a Republican of Minnesota, should visit Avoca, Ireland, before opening the Superior National Forest to copper nickel mining. After all, the Superior National Forest is part of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. A first-hand look at the unintended long-term environmental damage to the Avoca River seems reasonable before risking similar harm to a far larger, more vulnerable region at home. Come on, Congressman. Most people realize our society needs copper for AI centers, electric vehicles, and other high-tech electronics, but rational folks also want to understand the risks and costs of mining copper. They know it's unrealistic, even childish, to oppose all mining in our backyards. Minnesota, for example, has operated iron ore mines for over 140 years. It's not pain-free, of course. It's caused serious problems, including acid mine drainage from certain pyrites, fool's gold, and air pollution from mercury and asbestos fibers. But sulfide mining that extracts copper and nickel poses far greater risks than iron ore taconite mining. Unless mine operators can forever shield their mountains of extracted sulfide-infused rock from air and water, they'll forever risk environmental damage downhill and downstream. And without proven protections against those deadly acids from leached metals, citizens should not trust the Chilean-based company Stauber supports to protect the Boundary Waters' long-term health. Taxpayers also can't entrust those miners with all the downstream wetlands and waterways flowing northward into Canada and beyond to Hudson Bay. Mining's many challenges in protecting the Superior National Forest appear more daunting than those still plaguing the Avoca River's 7.5-mile stretch between former mines and the Irish Sea. Before closing in 1982, after about 12 years in operation, Avoca's two open-pit mines created Mount Platt, a nearly 800-foot-high mountain of waste rock totaling over 915,000 cubic yards in size. Because of its toxic leaching, Mount Platt remains nearly devoid of vegetation nearly 45 years later. Likewise, that 7.5-mile river section of the Avoca remains one of Ireland's most polluted systems, mainly because of acid mine drainage. True, conditions in the Avoca River have improved slightly since the Fitzgerald's pub server declared it dead to fish and fishing in June of 2005, but the Avoca Avonmore River system was once home to large runs of Atlantic salmon before mining began over 200 years ago. Some salmon still reach their spawning areas in the upper rivers, and young salmon still turn up in recent surveys, but their numbers remain low. Restoration work is ongoing but slow because of Ireland's year-round wet climate and lush greenery. Think northeastern Minnesota without sub-zero winters. As such, the Avoca River's waters are particularly soft, much like the very soft waters of northeastern Minnesota. Science tells us that soft water has little capacity to handle acids and other pollutants. Acids draining from Mount Platt relentlessly plague the Avoca River because the giant rock pile can't generate enough vegetation to resist erosion from rain and wind. Lacking such cover, it also struggles to contain or divert surface water runoff, which contaminates surrounding vegetation, causing a significant dieback of trees. Once those acids and metals reach the river, they settle in bottom sediments to create a reservoir for long-term exposure. They dissolve again in the water and get absorbed by fish through their gills, much as birds and other wildlife eat the plants and algae absorbing the contaminants. And from there, the toxins move up the food chain, concentrating in people and anything else consuming them. No one should assume Ireland sat idle after the mining operations devastated the Avoca River, but undoing such damage is daunting. A 2003 study of treatment options concluded that none would greatly slow the pollutants leaching from the mines. Ongoing monitoring and remediation work from 2013 through 2020 cost $5.8 million in improved water quality from bad to moderate. The Avoca River case suggests Congress wasn't prudent when it passed Representative Stauber's resolution January 21 to overturn the Biden administration's 20-year mining moratorium for 225,000 acres of the Superior National Forest. The past 6 weeks, conservation organizations like Backcountry Hunters and Anglers and Sportsmen for the Boundary Waters have lobbied the U.S. Senate to reject Stauber's resolution. Joining that opposition are four Republican descendants of Theodore Roosevelt, the man who created the Superior National Forest in 1909 during his presidency, three of TR's great-grandsons, and one great-great-grandson said they're appalled by their party's efforts to expose northeastern Minnesota to sulfide mining. In their letter to GOP senators, the Roosevelts implored them to embody TR's three pillars of life, leadership, conservation, and citizenship. They wrote, "It's one thing for politicians to say they believe in these three pillars, and it's quite another thing to act that way," unquote. And that's Patrick Durkin's March 9th article, titled "River in Ireland Cautions Us to Protect Minnesota's Boundary Waters." I'm no expert on the current status of the mining in the Superior National Forest, but the state of Minnesota gave the mining company permission to do exploratory drilling. We'll have to do some searches to find out the current status of the mining operation. And of course, be sure to go online and comment on the questions posed by Wisconsin's Conservation Congress hearings. The deadline is tomorrow night. Search words, Wisconsin DNR Spring Hearings Questionnaire. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Thank you for listening.